lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
What do we really sell? We sell dreams.
And imagination. And sparkle.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
This guy's a lunatic, a psycho. He will eat you for breakfast. He won't even notice it, probably.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I just want to make it clear that that clip is talking about Steve Sales.
Yeah, how did they find out?
That's a maniac. What I want to eat know. You for breakfast, wouldn't even notice.
I see, I'm going to blame Stone.
It's the movie show. Big one today. In fact, one of two movie shows today.
What?
We're excited to be at Sound Sleep Medical now. We'll be at the Megaplex Theaters tonight celebrating what is our big movie of the week, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So why don't we dive right into our big movie review?
All right.
For the first time in New York history, a room full of people froze to death in July.
It's an unimaginable evil. It's the power to kill by fear itself. Now it's headed straight for us. It's commanding an army of the undead.
All right. Big movie review sponsored by Paris RV. They've got over 1,200 RVs in stock, and they're ready for your outdoor adventures, and they're sure to have the RV that you're looking for. So check them out at any of their four locations or at ParisRV.com. Steve, it's been 40 years, if you can believe it, since the original Ghostbusters. And now we get what's the fourth movie in the Ghostbusters, you know, the OG Ghostbusters timeline, the fifth overall.
We're pretending that the ones with the ladies didn't happen?
Or? Well, it doesn't happen in the same universe and timeline of characters as...
Even though, wasn't Murray in that
one? Oh, all four of them were in it, but they didn't play their characters.
Oh,
Bill Murray was like a talk show debunker of ghosts, and Ray was a cab, or Dan Aykroyd was a cab driver, and then Winston owned the hearse that they then sold to become the Ghostbusters car. That was in Ghostbusters Answer the Call in 2016. But now we get Frozen Empire, which is a direct sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife that introduced us to Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, and McKenna Grace's characters.
Right.
Now they live in the, and they moved from Oklahoma, and now they're in the, what is it called? The firehouse in Manhattan, and now they're carrying on the business of busting ghosts. But as you heard in the clip, an ominous new paranormal object gets found, and it has a powerful entity inside that could threaten not just Manhattan, but the whole world.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, to me, I liked the last one in that the cameos with the old guys were fine. But this one felt like there were – I enjoyed the movie, but there were so many characters that they had to deal with. And each one of them had their little moments. I thought it was a little too scattered. Now, I wrote a review on KSLNewsRadio.com, and I don't remember. I don't think I got to the plot, which you talked about. But I thought that particular, you know, the entity was a little too scary. I thought for maybe an audience that's going to take their kids. I thought it was a little too. I thought there was too many characters for them to, you know, try to, you know, give them something decent to do or talk about. And so those are the two issues for me. Was it too dark, not funny enough, and too many characters trying to, you know, say stuff.
Okay. Now, this was written by Jason Reitman, who is the son of the original Ghostbusters writer. If you remember, the original Ghostbusters was co-written by Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman.
Yeah.
Ivan Reitman co-wrote Ghostbusters Afterlife with Jason Reitman, and then Ivan passed away in the last 2 years since then, and so this is Jason on his own.
Well, didn't he also write with the director? I mean, wasn't he part of the writing?
You know what? I don't know if I had
Gil
that in
Keenan
my notes.
Or
Gil Keen. No, not Gil Keen. That was way back when, but yeah. But it's Jason Reitman that's sort of like the legacy heir, and he's writing the legacy story. And I thought, to me, this is where I struggled, because I did think it was a fun movie overall, and I thought it did have some solid humor. But what was it that we liked so much from the original Ghostbusters movies? It was tight, and it was the characters were really defined, and as we were saying on Dave and Dujanovic, or at least as I was saying on Dave and Dujanovic, I guess I lumped you in there, the characters made it funny. The lines themselves weren't necessarily hilarious. Like, if you just said the line without the context, it's not like a set-up punchline. But with Gil Keenan, so you were right on the co-written part for Frozen Empire. But it was funny because these characters were funny, and the actors who inhabited them were funny. And And so then it just sort of all blended together into something that was really, really well done. And it wasn't for kids. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about some of the plot things and what goes on. I remember watching Ghostbusters when I was a little older, and I was like, oh, that's what they meant by Keymaster and Gatekeeper. I was thinking a little literally, and I should have been thinking literally, yeah. If that makes any sense. But I felt like since that first movie, they went with a cartoon series in the mid-80s, and then they went to Ghostbusters 2, which was a lot more kind of playful. And then we've got Frozen Empire, which focused on, you know, the young kids, the teenagers.
You mean Afterlife?
Afterlife, yes. And then Frozen Empire continued that. So they've kind of been on a – it went from being for, like, grown-ups that kids could go and sort of enjoy and wonder what the grown-ups were laughing at,
yeah,
to something that's kind of aimed at them. And I'm not sure it's better for that.
Yeah.
That's where I stand on it. I thought Kumail Nanjiani and Patton Oswalt were great additions.
Yeah.
Kumail Nanjiani is hilarious.
Yeah, he is.
I love that guy. And I kind of wish Carrie Coon would have had more to do
in
the movie.
Oh, she had nothing to do, along with Annie Potts. She just walked around and maybe had an expositional moment or, you know, like, well, let's go upstairs. They spent a lot of time in that firehouse, which was fine. I thought that was a nice idea. I thought Bill Murray looked like he was trying to regurgitate the old jokes, and his heart wasn't in it.
Well, see, I liked seeing the OGs back on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that are still alive, you know, because Harold Ramis passed away.
Well, it felt like Dan Aykroyd was in the movie.
Yes.
And he was part of it.
That's why I was hoping to see his name on the co-script writing. But, I mean, that's a whole director's or a Writers Guild thing. So maybe he did help with some of the
script.
I
thought he did, yeah.
But, yeah, it was good to see them as involved in the story and not just kind of as a cameo. So I agree with you on that. And it was fun. Like, I know this sounds so bad. I gave it a B minus. So almost good, but better than average.
I actually gave it a B minus as well. But only because I love the franchise so much, or at least the first movie. Since then, it's been just, you know, trying to climb back out of that hole and to get back to that gorgeous, magical moment. And they've struggled to do that. But it's still worth seeing, of course.
Agreed. And one thing, we'll talk more about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire on our movie show tonight. We're going to talk a lot more about it.
Yeah.
Because I have some thoughts about, like, where should the franchise go from here, too? And it may be not where you think. So that is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, a B-minus from me.
B-minus from me.
And it is rated PG-13, and it is only in theaters.
The Movie Show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
All right, The Movie Show, broadcasting live from Sound Sleep Medical today. We talked about our big movie of the week, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. But we've got a lot of other movies opening this week. So let's start with one, Steve, right now, one that I was unfortunately not able to make it to, and that is Immaculate, starring Sydney Sweeney.
I know God saved me for a reason, but I guess I'm still searching for what that reason is.
It's a miracle. You are with child.
Out of all the women in the world,
why did he choose me?
How can we trust what's inside you?
Well, those lines sound kind of familiar to a book I read once.
What, The Exorcist?
The Bible.
Oh, no, that's, Bible's way not on this one.
Right. Well, but I'm assuming there's supposed to be some parallels, or at the very least, twisted mirror parallels.
Well, so once they kind of gave away the plot there, although it's called Immaculate, so I'm pretty sure you're going to figure out that at some point this little sister Cecilia gets pregnant, and they're yelling at her like, oh, you laid with a man, blah, blah, blah. And there's some other stuff going on. But the funny part is some of the nuns, some of the younger ones are like, oh, now she's the Virgin Mary, and so they got kind of jealous.
That's where I'm saying the twisted mirror kind of a thing.
Yeah, so they got
she's
jealous.
Like, wait, how can I be pregnant? I've never done anything.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, anyway, so there's a lot of – this convent is in Italy. She's from Detroit, which was weird because she can't speak a lick of Italian, but she takes her vows and then suddenly finds out she's pregnant. It's Immaculate Conception. And the other nuns get jealous, and plus – one jumps off a building, and I mean, it's like a really dark movie. And as she starts snooping around and, you know, going in places that's forbidden, of course, she'll go in there. And by the way, she produced this as well. She read the script back in 2014 and wanted to do it so badly that she decided, I'm going to produce it. I'm going to hire the director. So this is Sydney Sweeney's movie. And you can tell that she's in it to win it, because when there's some really tough moments in the film, she's just screaming and yelling, and she's
what level of gross is this?
It's there. It's definitely gross.
What level of scary is it?
It's not as scary. I mean, there's some.
So it's more gross than scary?
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
So I would say, if you're just a regular viewer, don't. If you're like a horror fan that just like bring it, then okay.
But what if you love Sydney Sweeney?
If you love Sydney Sweeney, it's not going to hurt you. I mean, you're going to be okay with it, but you're going to like, she's done better, and hopefully she'll do better soon. Because the last couple have been a little weird.
So this one's rated R, I assume?
Oh, definitely.
This is Immaculate. Sydney Sweeney produced it herself. And what do you give it?
I gave it a C-.
A C- for Immaculate. All right. Well, our text question of the day, Steve, to pivot here for a sec to a little bit lighter note.
I know. It's still.
Nice. What is your favorite line from any Ghostbusters movie? And well, apparently, people have favorite lines from a Ghostbusters movie. Our text line is spilling over.
Some you can read, or all of them?
No, I can read most of them. Although I am proud to say that someone
they got yours.
They picked mine, but they substituted it for Nicholas. The favorite line.
Okay.
But here's one from Rick Moranis, who does your taxes?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Bob and Susan. They bring home $28,000 a year. Yeah.
I love it when he said acetylsalicylic acid. I purchased acetylsalicylic acid. It's 20% cheaper. Plus.
Nice doggy. Go away.
That part freaked me out as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
When the dog's chasing Rick Moranis, I think I had nightmares
about
that.
Yeah, those red eyes.
When I was a kid.
Not good.
Here's a quote, favorite quote from Raymond Stantz. I guess so. I think we better split up. Egon, good idea. Venkman, yeah, we can do more damage that way.
Yeah, see, now those are little subtle moments in a great movie that don't require a big sell.
Right. It's not a setup payoff. It's
no.
But again, it goes back to creating characters that we liked. You know, each one had a thing. Egon was the brainy, no-nonsense, sort of the straight man to all the other funny
exactly.
guys.
Yeah.
And Harold Ramis is funny, but he plays the straight man really well to everybody else. You know, Ray was the enthusiastic ghost guy. The cynicism comes from Peter, and it comes from Winston. Although Winston had the great line, I think, that was one of Stone's favorites. Do you believe in God, Ray? And Ray's like, never met him.
There's a ton of that.
Keep them coming. 57500, your favorite line from Ghostbusters. He slimed me.
Yeah.
I bet we're going to get that one a lot. But that one, as a kid, that was the funniest line of the whole thing. And as an adult, I think the lead up to it, he's an ugly little spud, isn't he?
Yeah.
He can hear you, Ray.
So many great lines.
Ghostbusters. And it can be any Ghostbusters movie. I liked in Ghostbusters 2 when Rick Moranis says, when he's trying to defend them in court at the beginning after they're on trial for using unlicensed nuclear accelerators. And Rick Moranis is like, and the reason that I like him is because one time I turned into a dog and they helped me. And he sits down. So we'd love to hear yours. 57500, your favorite line from any Ghostbusters movie. We've got a lot of movies to talk about, including one after we get back from the break. Actually, a couple of them. One that was filmed here in Utah you may recognize some scenes from. And one set in New Zealand back in the 1980s. On the movie show.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
That is a stupid design, and your instructions were very unclear.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
These curious creatures crawl, creep, and climb their way through life.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
People love Ghostbusters, Steve, and they're sending us in their favorite
Excellent.
Quotes. Excellent. Favorite Ghostbusters line. The flowers are still standing. And let's see. Favorite quote from Ghostbusters 2, Rick Moranis. They could expose themselves, Bill Murray. And you don't want us exposing ourselves? Or you don't want us exposing ourselves either. I got to get the right inflection in that. I looked into the trap, Ray.
Nobody said crossing the streams, is that?
Let's see. Oh, we had two in a row that were the, Ray, the next time someone asks you if you're a god, you say.
Yes.
Oh, such a great movie. Such a great writing. All right, Steve, we got a couple more movies to go through that are releasing in theaters. Let's start with Uproar.
Josh, I've started an amateur drama club at lunchtime. Well, there's four of us, so it's not big.
Why are you asking me?
I just thought it might be something you'd enjoy.
Five things. Food.
Bread.
Yes.
Yeah, this was not a great improv group. He was trying to train
they were terrible.
Them, and they were not good at it.
Is that Reese? What's Darby?
Reese Darby, yeah.
He's funny.
Now, this was a movie I really connected with. It stars Julian Dennison, who you might remember was in Deadpool 2.
And Search for the...
Hunt for the Wilder People,
yeah.
Yeah. And
that's right. He was in Deadpool. That's right.
Yeah, he was the kid that everything circled around. The plot basically circled around him.
He had a lot of powers.
Had the firepower.
Yeah.
So at any rate, he plays a kid from New Zealand in the 1980s in Uproar. And now this is at the time when the South African rugby team is touring New Zealand, and it's dividing New Zealanders because there's protests against apartheid policies from South Africa.
Right.
So as this is going on, all these events force Julian Dennison's character to make choices he's tried to avoid in his whole life so far, including his family life, his social life, and his school life.
True. He's a sitter, not a marcher.
Exactly. He's a fence guy all the way.
Well,
but he deflects everything. He doesn't want to be the center of attention, and you know he's self-conscious and all those kinds of things.
That's because he gets beat up when he goes to school. He goes to the library, and the librarian goes, "Get out of here. Go and..."
Yeah, she chased off the bullies at least too.
That's true.
Later on, but yeah, he's a kid who eats his lunch in the library because he gets treated poorly in the lunchroom.
But I did like his mom, Minnie Driver. She's such a delight, and she's trying so hard to make sure everything goes well. And he comes from a family where the dad was a super athlete,
rugby,
and his brother was a rugby player
until he got injured.
Right, and then you know so. And he's trying to find his niche. You know, what am I supposed to do?
And for him, it comes in the form of acting. He finds that maybe he's got a talent for acting. He doesn't know, but maybe he's got that. And again, his best friend. So when I talk about family, the family is his mom and his brother want him to play rugby. In the social, his friend, who is not Maori, she's Samoan. But the big protests were like, you know, why does New Zealand care about South Africa's apartheid policies when the native Maoris are being treated the exact same way? So
right.
Then it becomes like a double division. So the New Zealanders are split over terrible policies from apartheid.
Yeah.
But then the Maoris are like, hey,
what about
you're
us?
Doing the same thing to us.
Right.
But then those people didn't necessarily want to hear that. So this poor kid, this is where I really connected to it, is he's torn up. He's getting pulled. I'm watching this. Like this kid feels like he's taffy right now because he's getting pulled in every direction. And he's a nice kid. He wants to make other people happy, especially the people he cares about. And he's just stuck.
Yeah. And his mom doesn't quite get it until he says, "Look, I'm a Maori in a school full of white kids, and I take a lot of heat for
and,
that."
And he doesn't even necessarily see him as Maori. At one point, he says That's to right. the Maori lady, "Like, I'm so sorry that happened to your people." And she goes, "Darling, it's your people."
Yeah.
And that was like a really poignant moment. I almost hate to spoil that. But this for me, this really makes you feel something. And I gave it an A-. I loved it.
I gave it a B. I thought it was very well done. I thought Julian Dennison, I mean, he does have a weight issue and he sort of just goes with it.
But that works in this too.
It does.
Because he makes for a good frontline rugbyer and they point that out.
Yeah.
But he's certainly not as quick and athletic as the other guys on his team.
Right. He's trying to fit somewhere.
Yeah. So that is Uproar, A- for me.
A B for me.
A B for you. All right. Let's review Riddle of Fire.
Three goblins, two ghosts, one fairy, a troll, huntsman, and a witch. The prince of the mountain forever grants friends to those with hearts rich.
All right. So this is about three mischievous kids who start on the movie line calls it an odyssey. I guess there's some truth to that. It's when their ailing mother asks them to run an errand, and that is to get her some blueberry pie.
Yeah.
And it's called Riddle of Fire because what they need is the password to the Wi-Fi, and it's fire. Like the game they're trying to play is like fire. So the Riddle of Fire is they need the password to the Wi-Fi so they can play this game system that they swiped. And to get that, they need to get the blueberry pie for their mom who's sick in bed. And so the whole journey is to get the password to the Wi-Fi.
Well, what struck me was I thought it was going to be some kind of a Celtic folklore thing right. with these future Hell's
with
Angels.
With the titles that are, when the movie starts, it's like the Lord of the Rings font.
Yeah, and then you suddenly realize it's supposed to be set in Montana, but they're actually up in Summit County?
Yeah, that was another cool thing
like,
about
what?
It.
What? It's so green looking in the movie, and these kids are just little hellions. I mean, they are a nightmare.
If you've seen the best Christmas pageant ever, this is the Herdmans. Now, they're remaking that, by the way. There's going to be a new version of that comes out this fall.
I was thinking
you remember
of Ricky Bobby and his his terrible kids.
Okay, that's true also. But, yeah, so for me, when I was watching it, I felt like I was in a fever dream watching it half the time. And part of it was because of the visual filter that they have on it that's a similar one to what is in another horror movie that I had to watch. But it felt – I got weird vibes of Stand By Me, Napoleon Dynamite, and if you remember the movie Gentlemen Broncos, it felt kind of like that too.
And throw in some Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I am not a fan of kids cussing in movies as much as they cussed in this movie.
They really did.
And Leo Tipton, who used to go by Annalie Tipton, but now they go by Leo Tipton, borderline terrifying in a good way. This is the mom of Petal, the little girl.
Oh, right.
The witch.
I call her the taxidermist hippie.
Yeah, because there's like a witch and a huntsman. I mean, there's all these tropes, but it's set in modern times. And we got to give props to our boy Marshall Moore, a friend of the show, for the location scouting on this.
Yeah, no question. And I thought it was an interesting attempt. You're right. It's the kids, the language of the kids, and then pulling guns on kids or smacking them like that. Wow, it really kind of let loose here a little bit.
Yeah. So that is Riddle of Fire. I gave it a C because it kind of had a Goonies-type adventure feel to it, but it was so uneven where it – look, if you're going to have subtitles, one kid's – his pronunciation, he's got kind of a speech impediment, so they run subtitles every time the kid spoke.
Yeah.
But that kid cussed like a sailor sometimes.
Yeah.
It was just – that was too much for me. So for me, Riddle of Fire was a C.
Actually, I gave it the same. I gave it a C.
A C. Okay, and that is playing in theaters, but you will recognize the mountains of Utah and places up by Park City.
Yeah.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
Nor have you, Doctor. As your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
Well, we're going to talk about the movie show Top 10, but before we do that, let's review Problemista.
This is the story of Alejandro. His mother gave him everything, but she had a recurring dream.
Alejandro Martinez.
Yes, hi, let's speak.
Mr. Khalil's ready for you.
Thank you.
Now, Problemista tells the story about, so the work visa of an aspiring immigrant toy designer played by Julio Torres. That was the kid you just heard in the clip. He also wrote and directed the movie, so this is a very personal film from him. His work visa runs out, and he has to take a job. He has to have a job in order to keep the work visa. But after he gets fired, I'm trying to remember what he was working at. I can't remember. He wants to be a toy designer. That's the main thing. He wants to design toys for Hasbro.
Doesn't he work for...
But this is the thing. So he ends up getting a job with an art world outcast played by Tilda Swinton.
Ah, that's right.
And she's his only hope to stay in the country because she can then sponsor his work visa if he's her employee.
But she's kind of nuts, right?
Oh, so nuts. Now, when I was watching this, it kind of felt like an SNL sketch sometimes because the toys he wants to design are just like so esoteric. Like he's like, it's a truck, but it has real air in the tires, but one of the tires has a slow leak, and it's to help the kid realize that it's only temporary that you'll get to enjoy this, and it has a clock on it, so hopefully they will enjoy it more because it has an expiration kind of a thing. So what I say.
Like a tough love toy?
Just, it's like esoteric. It's like artistic. At any rate, it was so ridiculous at times that it felt like it was satire. But it wasn't. It was sincere. So at any rate, the main reason you're going to want to watch this is, one, for Tilda Swinton. She's like the worst nightmare that anyone who's ever worked in a customer service job has ever faced or could ever face.
Oh, good.
The worst. But they also managed to make even that have a weirdly positive spin. Like her being that way actually does a thing that helps Julio as he goes along. Any rate, I gave it a C+. It is also a great, a sincere vein, and it has a really biting commentary on the difficulties that immigrants who want to be here legally that they face.
Yeah.
And so anyway, this is called Problemista. I gave it a C+, and it is rated R. All right, Steve, now we've got to do the movie show top 10.
Good.
10, 9. The KSL Movie Show, top 10.
5, 4.
All right, we're just going to cut the sounder short there. Top 10, number 10, Ordinary Angels Hanging Out.
Yeah, it's on $18 million, not too much overseas, but, you know, that's pretty good.
We both liked it.
Yeah, oh, I really enjoyed it. I think if people haven't seen it, they should.
Number 9, The American Society of Magical Negroes. I saw that one. I actually thought it was really well done, and it's funny because the movie does to me as the white guy viewing it what the black characters in the movie do for the white people in the movie. Like, it's a whole narrative, but then the movie basically kind of incepts you. But I thought it was good.
I saw it too, and I wasn't sure what I was watching.
And then number 8, One Life.
Yeah, this is a sweet story, sort of like a British version of Schindler's List, only with a little less.
I found this out in last year's Tabernacle Choir Christmas. David Suchet told this story. That was the story that was the second half of the Tabernacle Choir Christmas broadcast.
Well, it's a great little movie, and people should see it.
Number 7, Bob Marley, One Love, still hanging out after 5 weeks in the top 10.
Dude, this thing's made $170 million worldwide. It's a hit.
Awesome. And number 6, Love Lies Bleeding. I didn't like it.
It's definitely a very odd movie. It's like David Lynch meets Tarantino and blood everywhere.
And it stars Kristen Stewart. Number 5, Cabrini.
This is a good movie. I mean,
I was really moved by that. My father-in-law loved it.
Yeah. I mean, she was just the toughest nun ever on the planet. Would never take no for an answer as she's trying to build a healthcare system and an orphanage.
In the late 1800s, yep. Yeah. Number 4, Imaginary, a horror movie.
This one's all you. I didn't.
Oh, that's right. It was mostly dumb. I didn't like it.
Well, it's made $25 million worldwide, so
nobody cares what I think.
Well, it probably cost $50 to make. So
number 3, Arthur the King. We both liked.
Love this movie. If you have not seen it, take the time to see Arthur the King.
Number 2, Dune Part 2.
Yeah, this
my favorite movie of the year so far.
Over $500 million worldwide and still going strong.
And no surprise at number 1. Second week in a row, Kung Fu Panda 4. Not as good as the other Kung Fu Pandas, but enjoyable.
And over $200 million. So.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Only binge the best, or the thing that everyone's talking about, even if it's not necessarily the best thing that's of the weekend. And that's what we're leading off our big streaming reviews with today, and that is Roadhouse.
Before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good? Like, you have dental?
Oh, haha.
Is there a hospital nearby? Is it, like, too far?
About, like, 25 minutes, I'd say.
So you like to fight. You ever win?
No one ever wins a fight.
So we got a remake of the late 1980s cult favorite movie Roadhouse, this time starring Jake Gyllenhaal in the role that Patrick Swayze once made famous. Gyllenhaal plays a guy named Dalton. He's a former MMA fighter who's now just kind of scraping by, and that's is until he's offered a job as the bouncer at a beachside bar in the Florida Keys. Now, if you know the plot of Roadhouse, you know he restores order to the bar, but other things are going on that, you know, people want the land the bar's sitting on, and they'll stop at nothing until they get their way.
I loved how similar it is to Roadhouse, and yet how different it is in the conversations. Everything else that was going on around it, the essence of the story is definitely there.
And there's Easter eggs.
And there's just all kinds of stuff going on. And the fact that at one point they called him Mr. Rogers, but he will totally kick your tail. That's exactly what he was. I mean, he was so polite. Right? He even drove
like you heard in the clip. Yeah.
He drove those guys to the hospital. That made me laugh.
You know, and the one goon who in the clip you heard is like, it's about 25 minutes away.
Oh yeah, he was very
helpful.
I love
that guy.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, "You're not gonna kill me, are you? Nah, get out of here."
So for me, I realized about halfway through, I was like, okay, you know what? This is what it is. It's cartoonish for sure. You got the lantern-jawed hero who's chiseled like a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got scenery-chewing villains, including the real MMA fighter Conor McGregor, who's making his film debut here.
He is a force of nature, like a tornado blowing through this movie.
You know who you reminded me of as I was watching it? Do you remember Ulysses Klaue in Black Panther, the one played by Andy Serkis?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of him, only if he was really jacked and was an MMA fighter. Conor McGregor plays him so similar to that Ulysses Klaue character, just like overly confident and tattooed everywhere and everything like that. So,
but he's even more maniacal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But fun. Like, weirdly fun.
I totally got a kick out of this movie. I thought I wouldn't care for it, although I'm told that Jake Gyllenhaal was in a movie with Patrick Swayze and was a huge fan of his, and so he said he even has a tattoo that somewhere on him that has a reflection of Patrick Swayze. So I love that about it, that he wanted to do him a good job. I love Jessica Williams as the bar owner.
She's great.
Just the whole cat, you know.
She was on Shrinking, if you watched Shrinking last year with Harrison Ford. Well,
I think she's just a terrific actress. She used to be on the Comedy Central with the on the Daily Show.
Oh, that's right. That's right. She was a correspondent.
And she's good. The bad guys were all good.
Joaquin de Almeida.
Yeah, he's crazy. I watched this and just like, man, the fight scenes are unbelievable.
Well, and that's the thing. So the story is completely secondary to the fight scenes. Like, the story only exists to get to the fight scenes. Let's be honest.
But at least the road they took me to. I think I like this movie more than you did.
Well, I gave it a C.
Oh, I gave it a B+.
Oh, wow. You liked it a lot more than I
really
did.
Enjoyed this.
But I will say this. If this is your kind of thing, if you love the punch fights and you like the brawler type movies, it is very entertaining as far as that goes.
Well, my first concern was, are they going to be respectful of the Roadhouse or not? And I thought they were.
Oh, come on. That movie wasn't that great.
Well, I've watched it several times, and
that's because it was on TNT literally every day for the entire 1990s.
It's just one of those movies where, you know, Brad, whatever his name was such a good bad guy.
He was. That's true.
Ben Gazzara.
I kept waiting for the finish of the original Roadhouse to play a role in this, but it did not.
No.
There's a little bit of a spoiler, but all right. I gave it a C. You gave it a B+. That is Roadhouse. It is.
This
rated
is my
R.
Pick of the week.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, see, mine is Uproar.
Well, Uproar's up.
Ha, got you there. No. But it is. It was entertaining, and if you like it, it's rated R. Now let's talk about Three Body Problem.
Back in 1977, they detected a sequence, called it the WOW signal.
What's it say?
They are coming.
Who are they?
That's the question.
So this is a new science fiction series on Netflix, and it's actually based on a book.
Yeah, a very popular book.
Yeah, so these five scientist friends can't explain why the laws of nature suddenly start unraveling right in front of them. Particles aren't obeying what they're supposed to do. Even the stars in the sky start to blink out like if they were on a light switch.
Yeah.
Only all the stars in the entire sky, not just a blinking star.
And everyone sees it.
So they don't know what's going on. Eventually they have to team up with Benedict Wong's weird detective to try to confront what turns out to be the greatest threat in humanity's history, which is tied to something a woman in 1960s China did.
This is actually pretty interesting. I'm about four episodes deep, and I can't wait to watch the other four. I like the idea. The three-body problem is, first of all, you have two things in orbit. They're very predictable. But then if you have a third thing coming through, it can completely screw everything up. And that's the problem the aliens are having with their home world and why they're looking for a new place to hang out. This kind of reminded me of the Sam Jackson invasion, whatever that thing was called.
I don't remember.
The Disney Plus.
Oh, Secret Invasion. Yeah,
Secret Invasion.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe one. Okay, gotcha.
I think that's where this is headed, but who knows? And man, when you get to that fourth episode.
Well, see, I've only watched three, so I guess I haven't even really got hooked. I've enjoyed it so far. And honestly, we were talking about this. The only reason we haven't watched the whole series, we ran out of time because of all the other stuff we had to watch.
Too many other things to watch this week. So I'm definitely anxious to go back and watch the rest of it.
So I give Three Body Problem a B so far. And that's what my thing for when I haven't watched the whole series. I give it a what have I seen and this is where I'd put it so far.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by it. I didn't give it anything. An incomplete because I still want to see the rest of it. But so far, I am definitely in.
All right. That is Three Body Problem on Netflix. And again, the one we were talking about before, just in case you came in a little bit late, it was Roadhouse on Prime Video with Jake Gyllenhaal. So those are two big streaming. We've got more streaming to talk about as we continue on the movie show.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Steve, we've still been getting texts at 57500 from our listeners who love their favorite Ghostbusters lines, including another vote for Ray. Next time someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
She's a nimble little minx.
When it jumps?
Yeah.
Then here's one from Peter Venkman, Bill Murray's character. Why worry? Each one of us is carrying an unlicensed nuclear accelerator on our back.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, let's see.
How about, I always wanted to do this.
Pull the table off. The flowers are still standing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, Egon had some good lines, too. I'd like to take a brain sample. Yeah, okay, whatever. Okay, so if you want to share your favorite line from any of the Ghostbusters movies, and I will say this, and tonight we'll do it a little bit more on our bonus movie show tonight. I'm going to defend Ghostbusters Answer the Call 2016 because I thought that movie was funny, and I enjoyed it. And I know I'm in a minority opinion if you look online, but I enjoyed it.
Chris Hemsworth was that movie. Come on.
Oh, man. That's where you discovered he could do more than just strut around like muscular Thor.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that on tonight's bonus movie show. But, Steve, let's review some more streaming. How about Shirley?
Okay.
I have something I want to tell you. I am running for president.
Of the United States? Holy.
I'm paving the road for a lot of other people looking like me to get elected.
Brooklyn's first black representative.
You're about to make history.
Now, Shirley tells the story of the first black congresswoman, and Shirley Chisholm is her name, and her trailblazing run to run for president of the United States in 1972. It chronicles her boundary-breaking campaign, and it stars Regina King as Shirley Chisholm.
And Lance Reddick.
Yes.
And Terrence Howard.
How many more Lance Reddick movies are still in the can?
I know.
Because he keeps being in stuff, and it reminds you what we lost when he passed away.
I know. And every time I see him, I'm like, oh, gosh, he's good in everything that, you know. But this was, you know, I lived through this era, and I remember, you know, I thought she was just kind of a pain. And especially when the Black Panthers endorsed her, I thought,
oh, and you
what?
Lived in California back then, too.
I did, yes. And so
California plays a key role in this because she doesn't initially want to campaign there thinking, I don't have a chance at those delegates,
right.
So I'm not going to spend time there. I need to hit, you know,
well, because
the other states to get enough delegates to be able to be have some power at the committee. See, this is where Doug Wright was always the expert. He remembers all the days of the backroom deals. I remember him describing, you know, gone are the days at the conventions of the backroom deals. This movie, if you don't know what those were, this movie gives you a lesson 101 in what those were.
And back in those days, if you were to win the California primaries, it was winner take all, which turns out was a very vital part of what Shirley's campaign ended up sort of changing.
Changing, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of undemocratic to give all of the delegates to a guy that got 44% of the vote. Makes no sense. So that did change. And the other thing was...
Wow, where have we heard that before?
The other thing is she was not part of the debates because she didn't have high enough numbers. But one of the things that broadcasters had to do was give equal time to each candidate. So she fought for that. So I, even though, you know, she...
That's why they call it a groundbreaking and boundary-breaking 72 campaign.
And Regina King plays her beautifully, I thought.
I actually really enjoyed this. I gave it a B. I thought it was really, really well done.
Yeah, I think I'm at the B as well.
And it also made me like, the flip side of movies like this is that it makes you feel like, can there anything ever be done about the way politics are? Like it gives you hope, and then it at the same time kicks the stool out from under you, because just about the time you think there's something going, it falls back to the way things have always been.
Well, everybody's making a deal and everybody's protecting their own power.
Yep.
And so that plays into it then and now.
All those who have power afraid to lose it, even the Jedi, as the Emperor once said.
Sure, okay. Way to manage to throw Star Wars into a Shirley Chisholm
movie. I can work Star Wars into anything if we need to. For Shirley, that is on Netflix, and it is a movie, so it's not a series. You can get it, watch it all in one sitting. Really quick, Steve, let's talk about Stormy. I did not get to see this one.
Okay, yeah, Stormy Daniels.
I am Stormy Daniels, adult film star, mom. I'm a registered Republican. When I met Trump, he had told me he never wanted to be president, but then Trump got the Republican nomination, and that's when got real.
You know, I wasn't really all that thrilled to watch this movie until I started to, and realizing that she was so candid about everything that went on. And then the 2006 Lake Tahoe incident. She doesn't go into massive detail. She does in her book. But what I learned from this was how difficult it is for somebody. She calls herself white trash. I'm a terrible mom. I'm all, you know, I'm no one. And this guy ends up calling her horse face and, you know, absolutely denying anything happening. And the $130,000, that whole trial is still happening. What I learned was, if you're in power, boy, you can make somebody's life absolutely miserable to the point where later on in the film, she ends up owing the candidate over $600,000 in legal fees because he just kept riding her through all these different situations. And it was just... Most of it was defamation, whatever. But I learned a lot about Stormy, and I thought she was a very interesting character. There is some sexuality involved in the conversations and some nudity because she is a stripper. That's how she makes her money, and she doesn't apologize for it. Thought she was a very interesting character, and I learned a lot from watching Stormy.
And that is Stormy. It is on Peacock.
Yes.
And it's rated R, I'm assuming?
It is.
All right.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone Torture.
It's time for Telephone Torture, sponsored by our good friends at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters. And Steve, we're going to be there tonight, and yes, we have got an awesome prize to give away for Telephone Torture today and tonight.
Oh, that's right.
And they've got some really cool stuff going on at the Megaplex, including, now I did this back in 2019, but they've got permission on the 4th of May.
You guys are insane.
To do all 9 Star Wars movies in a row. They've got a whole package. We're going to talk about that more tonight on the movie show. But here's the choices
That's
you've
literally
got.
Literally 24 hours of movies.
20.
But counting the breaks?
No, it's 20 with the breaks, yeah. It's awesome. I did it. It's fun. I actually have my – I did the Star Wars Megaplex completion certificate next to my college diploma on the wall. Because, you know, that's how big a deal it is. So you'll have a chance to do that. We'll talk about it more tonight. But tonight, or for Telephone Torture, we've got 2 great prize packages, including one. We've got the regular one.
Yeah, that's the 2 drinks, popcorn, and the tickets.
And then we've got a Megaplex Ghostbusters Frozen Empire big screen prize package, which includes 2 tickets to either an IMAX or Platinum X screening of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which we didn't even get to see it in IMAX.
That's right.
We got 1 souvenir Ghostbusters Frozen Empire popcorn tin filled with popcorn and 2 souvenir Ghostbusters Frozen Empire drink cups filled.
They're basically the same thing, except they have the theme of Frozen Empire.
Yeah, they're Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
So that's your prize package today for Telephone Torture.
Those are your choices.
You can choose between one of those two. That is correct. Yeah. Our theme is March Madness-esque basketball movie, non-professional. So here's what we're going to do. We've tweaked Telephone Torture a little bit. That's the theme. That's what you wrote in there.
Oh, I did? Okay.
So here's what we've tweaked Telephone Torture a little bit. We're going to read off clues, and when you know the answer, either text us at 57500, or if you want to win, first chance at winning, call us at 801-575-8255, 801-KSL-TALK. And if you'd get the answer right, you win the Megaplex prize pack. If you get it wrong, we're only going to take 3 callers potential on the phone. And if we don't get any of the 3 that get it, we will go to the text line for the winner. So, Steve, what is our first clue?
Filmed in 2007, but not released until 2011, This true story had trouble finding a distributor. The director originally had a deal worked out with Disney, but the studio wanted him to add some coarse language to make it PG. And he said, no, thank you. I prefer to keep it at G. It's a G.
And this is a basketball-themed movie, or basketball takes place in the movie?
Oh, yeah. Basketball is the movie.
Okay. All right. So if you think you know the answer, text us at 57500. And or do we have someone on the line who wants to take a guess? Okay. Steve, right. We can read another clue. No callers yet.
Okay. This small Catholic college in Pennsylvania appeared in six straight AIAW Final Fours from 1972 to 1977 and won three consecutive national championships between 1972 and 1974. What is that movie? That is correct.
Okay.
You cheated, though.
No.
Did you know? Okay.
Do we have a caller who wants to take a shot? We've gotten two guesses. It was rated G. The studio wanted it to be at least PG.
Yeah.
And the director said no.
No.
And it also tells the story of?
A small Catholic college in Pennsylvania appeared in six straight. This was before the NCAA took over.
Okay.
So the AIAW Final Four, they were in six straight Final Fours. And won three national championships in a row.
All right, we've got somebody on the line who wants to take a shot. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Milo.
Milo, do you know the answer?
The Miami Ducks.
All right, you glitched out there for a sec. Say it one more time.
The Mighty Max.
The Mighty Max. Now, is that with an X? Like a mighty guy named Max?
No, M-A-C-S.
Mighty Max. Is that correct, Corey?
Yeah!
Congratulations, Milo. You nailed it.
Not only did they win three championships, they were the first female basketball team to be on television, a live game, and the first ever to play in Madison Square Gardens.
Wow.
So the key there was people were thinking it's going to be a boys' basketball team. But out of respect and to honor the Lady Utes who play tomorrow night, I went with the Mighty Max.
Milo, have you seen the Mighty Max?
Yeah, I have.
What did you think of it?
I liked it.
It's one that makes the rounds on KBYU. It airs on KBYU.
Oh, and if you want to see it, it's on Prime Video now.
And it is on Prime Video if you want to check it out. Stars Carla Gugino.
Oh, I love
which
her.
That'll get me to watch it already.
Yeah, Kathy Rush was the coach. She was, just amazing.
Now, we had a lot of people guessing Hoosiers.
Yeah, I figured.
But that was nice. Not rated
that
G.
Too. That was a good movie.
Hoosiers is a great one. All right, well, Milo, congratulations. Stay on the line. Gustavo and Corey will get your information. And which are you going to pick, the Ghostbusters pack or the regular pack?
Oh, don't make it sound like that.
Ghostbusters pack.
The Ghostbuster pack.
Good call, Milo.
You shamed him into picking.
Congratulations. You won Telephone Torture, sponsored by our friends at Larry H. Miller Megaplex Entertainment. Steve, I should watch the Mighty Max. I actually have that one recorded.
Oh,
it's on my
please,
list.
It's on your list?
No, it really is because I want to watch it, and I feel like my kids would enjoy watching it.
It's really a fun movie. And Immaculata College back in the day, now Immaculata University, it is now co-ed.
It's a much better story about Immaculate than the Immaculate movie with Sydney Sweeney.
You know, that was the double entendre this week. Was I had Immaculata and Immaculate.
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
The actor?
On KSL News Radio.
Will. Steve, final segment of the Movie Show. We've still been getting texts at 57500 of people's favorite line from any of the Ghostbusters movies. Let's see. Oh, see, now it's buried by people answering Hoosier's Space Jam Mighty Max. Somebody guessed Moneyball on the text line for Telephone Torture.
Baseball.
Here's one. Venkman, you haven't worked for the private sector. I have. They expect results when they get kicked out of the university.
Yeah.
Nobody steps on a church in my town. That was somebody else's line. What a great set of lines. Harold Ramis, Dan Aykroyd, Ivan Reitman. Those guys were great.
Bill Murray.
And we'll be talking more about Ghostbusters tonight on the movie show, the bonus movie show that will be live at the Megaplex Theaters at Jordan Commons. So come by and see us tonight when you go see the movie. We're going to have more details on that Star Wars.
Plus, they have a huge inflatable of the Stay
Puft
Marshmallow
Puff Man. And I believe the Ghostbusters local cosplayers are going to be there, too, so you can get pictures taken with the Ecto-1.
You know what? I found out, you know, the packs that they have? The guy says, I bought it from Hasbro. This is the Venkman edition. Whatever. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
Well, if the studios didn't create props that they should sell, they should have done it a long time ago. That's just printing money,
in my
opinion.
There was probably how many? Maybe 20, 25 people
at
that were
screening.
Dressed up?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we will re-review Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Plus, we'll actually review all the other Ghostbusters movies. We'll give our takes on it after all these years on tonight's show. But we do want to talk about a couple of things really quick as we get to rapid fire and wrap up the show.
Yeah.
That's right. So, Steve, one of the ones we didn't get to in streaming really quickly is Palm Royale. It's playing on Apple TV Plus, starring Kristen Wiig and Allison Janney. And a surprise that I will not reveal to you, but the old lady in the bed,
a fun surprise
cameo that is not in any of the billing that I saw. But
so I watched this like 2 months ago, just the first couple episodes, and I thought, she's really struggling to want to be part of the Palm Beach crew. And
yeah, it's basically a socialite in the late 60s who wants to get into an exclusive country club with the rich ladies.
But she doesn't have the credentials.
Or does she? That's part of the mystery.
Oh.
So anyway, that's Palm Royale. It's on Apple TV Plus. And then I wanted to tell really quickly about X-Men 97, the animated series.
I watched the first episode.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. It is a continuation of the 1990s cartoon series of X-Men. Let's see, I actually wrote a little bit down about it. It ended in 1996, so that's why the title is X-Men 97, and it continues to adapt stories from the X-Men comics with a few twists and, you know, modernized things. Many of the voices are back from the original. It has a similar theme song, which was very popular among kids and things like that. But as far as the series, it's exciting, it's visually sharper, and it kept the tone of the comics and the original series. I was impressed. It's rated TV PG. You got two episodes now and then every week.
The thing I appreciated about it is it didn't punish me for not remembering all the different characters and what they did.
It kind of helped reintroduce each one.
It does.
So that is X-Men 97. All right, Steve, and then tonight on the movie show at Megaplex, we will also review the movie Late Night with the Devil. Well, I will review it anyway.
I also wanted to mention Death and Other Details. If you haven't watched the whole series, it's probably worth watching because the ending, it's a great whodunit. And you're never going to believe who did it.
Okay, and that one was on Hulu.
That's right.
Yes. Okay, so here's quickly, rapid fire, Steve, our big movie of the week, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I gave it a B-. I thought it was funny, and it had some solid humor, but it was missing something.
I thought there were too many characters that they were trying to satisfy, and I thought the theme was a little darker than I was hoping for. I wanted more humor.
For Immaculate?
Immaculate, only for the toughest crowd, because it's pretty bloody, about really crazy nuns.
Starring Sydney Sweeney. My pick of the week, Uproar, I gave it an A-. It's about a kid in New Zealand in the 1980s who's pulled in all these different directions trying to sort out his identity. And it just really resonated with me. I thought it was really good, starring Julian Dennison.
Well, my pick of the week was Roadhouse, which I gave a B+ to. I thought it was respectful to the original and still making a lot of new turns as far as dialogue and whatnot. So I thought Jake Gyllenhaal was great.
And that is streaming on Prime Video. We have the movie Riddle of Fire, which was filmed locally. I gave it a C, three kids. It's got vibes of a bunch of different movies. But for me, it was just kids cussing too much, kind of a turnoff for me.
Yeah, at first I thought they were kind of funny.
Because it's a script. You're making kids cuss. I don't care if they cuss in high school. You're making kids cuss on film. I just don't like it.
It was uncomfortable.
That was Riddle of Fire. I saw Problemista, which is about an aspiring immigrant toy designer who has to work for the most nightmarish customer service person imaginable in Tilda Swinton. You'll want to watch this for Tilda Swinton and for interesting commentary on the immigration system. And then Three Body Problem on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to finishing that first season. I'm four into it, and it's really getting good.
Shirley on Netflix.
Great little historical piece about Shirley Chisholm. She was a force to be reckoned with back in the 70s.
And that is on Netflix. And then we've got Stormy on Peacock, which I did not see.
Really interesting look at Stormy Daniels. And I know it's kind of crazy, but she is an interesting person who really got railroaded, I mean, badly.
All right. That is Rapid Fire. Thanks for listening to the movie show today. We want to remind you we have another one tonight from 7 to 9 at the Megaplex Theaters at Jordan Commons in Sandy. Come out and see us and check out Ghostbusters while you're there.
Yeah, we'll have some fun tonight, so hang out with us.